It is 1995, and a young woman is walking down the road. She's wearing a white t-shirt, devoid of any decoration, save in green letters, on the back, below the collar, the words, "Nobody owns me." What is odd about this? Visually, it's not immediately striking, but an inquisitive mind will soon start to find it irritating or thought-provoking. Normally, what we see on the back of a t-shirt, if anything, is the name of the manufacturer, but instead, we see this elliptical message. Is it not a truism? Of course, nobody owns us. We are all supposedly free people. But then, could we not argue that by buying any commercial product displaying the brand name, we have been named, captured, and even possessed by the advertising and marketing of that product? We have become a Mitsubishi man or a Gucci girl. This particular t-shirt is a refusal of that type of surreptitious ownership. In an age of greater and greater state surveillance and control, it is an affirmation by that person that their body belongs to them and no one else. Broadcasting live from the city of Detroit, from a little place I like to call America. The land with an AK-47 in its hand and a dream in its heart. The place where every person you see thinks they're just a few years away from being a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live, America. Welcome, my friends, to Art House Radio, the arts podcast for the people. I'm your host, Troy Ramos. Thank you for joining me. I hope you're having an eggnoggy holiday season full of fat cookies and Big Lebowski-styled creamy drinks. Maybe even thinking about doing some holiday bowling now that we bring up the Big Lebowski. Sounds kind of fun. This week, we're taking a look at a couple of word artists, Jenny Holzer and Barbara Kruger. On this episode, we're looking at Jenny Holzer, episode 154. I've got a 7-minute interview I'll play at the end of this episode, which I found online and I think you'll find interesting, as I did. By the way, at the beginning, you heard me read an excerpt from Tony Godfrey's book, Conceptual Art. Now, that is like my personal Bible. It's where I go to get the juices flowing. It is a textbook, so it's a little bit of a dry reading, but that's me. That's your host. That's my dry Texas toast approach to reading. I like to read those textbooks. Now, not all of a textbook is going to get me, but I have my favorite parts, of course. I love sort of talking about the nuts and bolts of the arts world. And when I'm looking at this conceptual art book, one of the things I gravitate to is the word artist section, which led me to Jenny Holzer. Now, I'm personally coming up with, I've got a new album coming out in a couple of weeks, if I could just say that, and I'm trying to come up with a title for it. And looking at conceptual word artists helps me. It's one of those go-to things that usually helps. I always say that I don't like coming up with titles, but you know, I should start saying that I love it, and maybe I'll have an easier time with it. But anyway, this led me to look at word art, and of course, Jenny Holzer is got to be at the top of the list for word artists, right? If you don't know anything about her, let me give you a quick rundown before we get into this Jenny Holzer episode. She's a neo-conceptual artist based in Hoosick Falls, New York. I'm not sure why it's neo-conceptual and not just conceptual. Is it because you have to go back to it? I'm not sure. That's her concept ever went out. She's originally from Gallipolis, Ohio. And I'd just like to mention here that, you know, New York, Los Angeles, cool places, so many things to do, great art. Those places aren't full of natives, my friends. They're full of people from Gallipolis, Ohio, and Bangor, Michigan, and Des Moines, Iowa, and Idaho. I couldn't think of a city in Idaho. Boise? But there are, you know, others. I'm trying to think of small cities. I should get a list of small city names for when I do a rant like that. Anyway, back to Jenny Holzer. She studied at the Rhode Island School of Design, University of Chicago, Ohio University. Her work is centered around works which deliver words and ideas in public spaces. She was originally an abstract painter, studying printing, printmaking, painting and drawing. She moved to Manhattan in 1976, joining the Whitney Museum's independent study program, and there began her first work with language, installation, and public art. So this sort of led to her work Truisms, 1977 to 1979, which are among her best known works. She first started putting these works by printing these one-liners on white paper and wheat pasting them to buildings, and then eventually put them on posters, t-shirts, stickers, and even carving them onto stone benches. Shortly thereafter, technology became a big part of her medium, say around 1982, when she installed her first large electronic sign on the, I think it's called the, what is it, the Spectacolor board? Is that what it's called? In New York's infamous Times Square, the mecca of consumerism. And in that exhibition, a couple of the works that she had were It Is Man's Fate to Outsmart Himself, Private Property, Abuse of Power Comes as No Surprise, and Expiring for Love is Beautiful but Stupid. The interesting thing about this exhibit, this was put on by the Public Art Fund, or funded by the Public Art Fund, and these exhibits in Times Square ran from 1982 to 1990, and there were actually many artists that participated. Holzer was actually the third artist right after the great Keith Haring. Clearly, Holzer, if you're in the art world, is very famous, and everybody has their own favorites. Here's a couple of mine. One of them, this was one of the more famous ones, but I still love it. Protect Me from What I Want. You Are a Victim of the Rules You Live By. I think that's a great one. And when something terrible happens, people wake up. Isn't that so true? That you sort of, you're going through your daily life. You're pulling through the drive-thru at Burger King. You're going to your job at Naturalizer. Whatever it is. And then something terrible happens, and for a while, you're just like centered on the things that really matter. It's interesting how that happens. So I just wanted to mention, before we get into this interview with Jenny Holzer, I do have a new album coming out in a couple of weeks. If you get a chance to go to troyramos.bandcamp.com, you'll see some of my past works, and the new work will pop up there in a couple of weeks. I'll put it up, and there'll just be some pre-sales, pre-orders that you can do. It's a three, I don't say movement work, but there are three works in it. And they're sort of like industrial field recorded sounds. One of them I did on a bus in Lansing, and I sort of recorded different sounds of different people and cut it up and made these sort of rhythmic patterns out of it. And one of them is the recording of a factory, somewhere in Michigan, factory sounds that I turned into a sound work. So it's a really interesting album. I think you'll like it. I've had some close friends who have listened to it, and they've given me their thumbs up, which is, a big deal to me. So I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's going to do well. I hope it'll be out, in the next couple of weeks, just before Christmas. So you can share the holiday spirit with me through the magic of sound, and hopefully it'll do well with you, the listener. Remember to follow us at ArtHouse43 for this show. You can also go to arthouse43.com and click on support if you'd like to support the magic here. Support the magic. Or you can go to contact and drop us a love message if you'd like. Okay, so let's go to the interview here. This is the Culture Show, and I pulled this offline. It is intended for educational purposes about this artist, Jenny Holzer. It's an interview segment done with her sometime within the last few years. So let's do that, and I will see you on the next episode with Barbara Kruger, episode 155. But for right now, let's go to the Culture Show and their interview segment with Jenny Holzer.
As darkness falls, perspectives change and the city becomes a world of signs lighting our way. And that's when Jenny Holzer's work is at its most powerful. Using mass media and marketing techniques, Holzer questions our beliefs and values. And her work has never felt more poignant. Every day we're bombarded with words telling us where to go, what to do, what to think.
And with so many conflicting signals and messages, how do you know which ones to take notice of and which to ignore? And with all this information, are we really better informed or simply overloaded, overwhelmed to the point where we don't know who or what to believe?
Jenny Holzer made her name as an activist conceptual artist in the late 1970s, plastering truisms or challenging slogans around the streets of Manhattan. And the installation that kicks off this exhibition displays her original texts in a dazzling new visual form.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at that.
That is so spectacular. It's like being in a sea of words. I mean, at the beginning, what was the kind of context? Were you, you know, would you say that you were quite a radical person? Were you like feminist, left wing?
I wasn't sure what I was in the 70s in New York. I wasn't certain I was an artist. I thought maybe I was a crackpot needing to declaim things, and I think the truisms reflect that.
You mean like you were a demagogue on your soapbox?
I was a something on a soapbox, but a different kind of one. I was an anonymous demagogue because my posters were put up in the middle of the night and they were unsigned because I wanted people to think about what was right on them, not to think about me.
Were you consciously, as it were, trying to give people an alternative to the slogans and the messages of politics, big business, commerce?
I wanted to set up a situation where there are hundreds of sentences, all of which are plausibly true to someone, but then in effect pose the question of what do you do, how, for example, would you govern given all of these conflicting opinions?
I mean, I suppose it's in the nature of truisms that they should be true, but abuse of power comes as no surprise, seems to get truer with every year, doesn't it?
I think I was onto something with that one.
Yes, I think a lot of people in America and the UK might feel that too.
The engagement with war and how it's mediated is a strong theme in Holzer's work. The brutal conflict that tore Yugoslavia apart in the early 90s moved her to employ a new material, actual human bones from anatomist suppliers, in one of her most harrowing pieces.
I'm very seldom so literal with my materials or even the subject, but the war in the former Yugoslavia, in which women were raped and killed, made me turn to things like bones and blood ink.
I sometimes think that we get these wars sort of beamed into our living rooms. It desensitizes you sometimes, I think, or it can do. It's almost like you're brutalized by the constant reminder of what war is and what's happening. Is that one of the things that you're trying to sort of force us to confront with this work?
I thought about writing about the war from the points of view of a victim, a perpetrator, and an observer who comes along afterwards and has to make some kind of sense and restore law.
Now, I noticed that some of these bones have little, almost like identity tags mm-hmm. on them.
Yeah, this one has, she has three colors in her eyes. I found it most useful to represent the things said by people no longer capable of saying them.
Responding to American involvement in Iraq and the Middle East, Jenny Holzer's latest work has a palpable sense of political urgency. Based on declassified documents, the final room in this exhibition brings us bang up to date, probing the contentious issue of freedom of information.
Yeah, see, that's not only the hand, it's the side of the hand for identification. That's called the knife edge.
So what actually are these? I mean, what are they based on?
These are documents released through the Freedom of Information Act, and these are handprints from case files of military personnel accused of crimes in the theater of war.
war crimes, or, I mean, what is it that they might have been accused of?
The crimes varied from relatively petty ones to serious ones of abuse and even murder.
They remind me of Goya's Disasters of War, where he says, and I think on the first plate, he says, I saw this. Mm-hmm. I saw this. In a sense, you're saying, I found this, he did this, he was accused of that. This is what's going on.
I wanted to provide as much information as I could, so I read tens of thousands of pages to come up with ones that were summaries of sorts, and these hands seem to be that, at least by way of their image quality.
Artists keep work or keep examples of their own work that means a lot to them. Mm-hmm. Is this work that you retain in your own collection as well as it were, selling or showing?
One I'll keep will be a painting in the show that is a page that's almost wholly redacted, and the only word that survives is waterboard, and it looks like a Russian painting.
Yeah, no, I've seen the painting. You might mistake it for a second for Malevich's Black Square. Mm-hmm. As for Malevich, the Black Square was the zone of social transformation. Mm-hmm. It was a space of hope and optimism, whereas your Black Square doesn't quite have that feeling, does it?
This is a black hole of social transformation.
Do you think that if you were making this sort of work in 1990 that you would have been invited to be in the American Pavilion in Venice?
That's a good question that I can't answer.
No comment. That's a very good no comment. That's one of the best no comments I've heard for ages.
Good.
look, that's just angry.
Yeah.
That's cartoony.
We've got televisions, personal computers, iPhones, Blackberries, all keeping us more relentlessly informed than ever before. But I think Holzer's work really makes you question what you know and how you know it. This is art for the age of political spin and cover-up.
And as you leave, it's as if Holzer's voice is ringing in your ears. Don't say I didn't warn you.